Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McCalvey. Brought to you by the Law Offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Brewers fall in the wild card game 4-3 in D.C. Joining us now, man that was in that locker room, had the microphone in front of Trent Grisham, Josh Hader after the game, Adam McCalvey, Brewers.com and MLB.com, and now in the City of Angels, getting to cover that game. How much more fun is that going to be, Game 1 NLDS, when it is not the team he covered all year? Adam, appreciate it, man.
Yes, it's going to be so much fun.
That is going to be something else. What have you had a situation quite like this? I mean, I know you've been working for MLB.com for so long, but in this drastic and quickly of a turnaround that the team you cover and then the team that bounces you, you have to go and cover as they go and play the biggest game of the year tomorrow night?
That's a good question. I don't think I have. I mean, I've done a bunch of NLCSs. I had a couple World Series. I was there in 2016 for a somewhat notable World Series, and saw the Red Sox win a World Series. But I don't know that I've ever done this, where your team gets eliminated in such the way it turned last night was like, honestly, I don't know that I've digested it because it happened so fast. Grisham makes an error, and I'm doing, select all, delete, and trying to get something in to try to get downstairs. It was a really, I don't have to tell the people listening but how shocking the whole thing was to see it turn so quickly. And no, I don't think I ever have then had to turn around and go on the road. But look, I got my 40 minutes of sleep before leaving for the airport.
So that was
great. And here we go.
This is my thing. Last night, Hader took a bunch of crap on Twitter. Maybe not Hader as much as Council did for putting Hader there in that eighth inning situation. And after the first couple of pitches, I think people then really started getting squirrely of, look, he clearly doesn't have it. Maybe we should get somebody up as soon as possible. Do you think Council waited too long to get Lyles up in that bullpen in the eighth?
One of my follow-ups that I want to ask, because so much happened so fast last night, and we had to get our questions answered from him about the hit-by-pitch, about the error, about the sort of stunning end. What we didn't get to ask is when Lyles was going to come in, whether they had Lyles getting ready for the following inning, and that was Hader's inning, whether they had a batter in mind that Hader was going to go through before they brought in Jordan Lyles, and that is something that requires a follow-up. But, I mean, in general, I feel like it was so painful last night for everybody watching, and people want him. There's a lot of suggestion about getting him out of there after one batter when it's clear he doesn't have it. That's just not how pro sports work.
Thank you.
Their best pitcher.
Thank you.
And they had him saved for the biggest innings of the biggest game. And that game lined up. What I wrote in my game story was, if Craig Council sat at his desk at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and jotted down how he wanted the game to go and slipped it in his pocket,
couldn't have been any better.
That's how the game went.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to pull Josh Hader after one batter. You're not going to pull Josh Hader against Juan Soto and bring in Alex Claudio or something. That's why you have Hader. That's why you played all these games to get to this point. You drew it up. You had the guy you wanted on the mound. The guy you wanted on the mound had a bad day at the worst possible time. I don't know that I'm as much into the managerial second guessing on that one. I think it was lined up exactly the way they wanted it. They had the guy out there, and he didn't execute.
Nothing, Steve?
No, I don't have anything. I just wanted to get his thoughts on it because, again, a lot of people were saying, why didn't Drew Pomeranz go out there another inning and all that? And this is what happens. Gary said it before the game yesterday afternoon. People are going to second-guess counsel on everything tomorrow. Can guarantee you that what's going to occur. How was Trent Grisham after the game in that clubhouse?
Heartbroken, you know, wet eyes, wet cheeks. He had been consoled by all of his teammates before having to get up and, you know, the way they had it set up in the Nationals visiting clubhouse. They had all the furniture out. It was, you know, the clubhouse was ready for a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes to the middle of the room and he's kind of engulfed. I was right across from Chuck Freeman. And he answered every question. He answered every question multiple times. The man's totally heartbroken. I mean, that is the nightmare scenario for anyone who has ever played a sport at any level.
Said that.
That your screw up cost the team the game. And that one play didn't cost the team the game. Josh Hader's control cost them the game. They had add-on chances that cost them the game. There were other moments that contributed to that loss. But I guarantee you that today, I think they're on the plane right now, he's sitting there by himself and feels awful about what happened.
And you know, here's what you don't – here's
sports.
Yeah, it is. I was going to say that if you play sports, at some point, if you play it long enough, that will happen to you. Whether it be Little League baseball, whether it be AAU basketball, mm-hmm. whether it be you're 9 or 10 years old, some stages most certainly are bigger than others. If you're in sports, that is going to happen to you. People who don't play sports don't get it. They don't understand it. And sometimes it ruins people's lives because of all – and now the way our society is now – you know, back when I played, we didn't have the social network. So we didn't hear or see all the stuff that these guys who've never done it before want to spew at people. But when you go out and you make sacrifices to do what you do and you're not seeing your family, I mean, it's just a lot to go into it. And then for people who have never done it before or don't appreciate it, I should say, I mean, not necessarily done it, but don't appreciate it and what these guys go through. To me, I think it's just stupid. It's heartbreaking. Well, it's a mess. I don't get it, and I hate playing that game. We're going to play a game at 4 o'clock that's absolutely disgusting, but we're going to do it because now we want to play the blame game, and that seems to be the most important thing that people want to do right now with Craig Counsell. Now I'll say it all. I'm done.
Yeah, look, and I mean, I think they tie together, right? And let's just talk in both situations. Really, let's talk, all three, Grisham, Hader and Counsell are getting a lot of the blame for this. Grisham is the main guy who helped them overcome losing Christian Yelich. I mean, I think they overcame Christian Yelich mostly because they pitched really well.
Mm-hmm.
But Grisham was the guy getting a lot of those reps, some big hits, including in that Miami series right away, the 5-hit game, really stepped up and has a bright future. Ryan Braun is going into next year, his last guaranteed season, and Grisham has played himself right into a spot to either take over when Ryan Braun is no longer on this team or to be in the mix. And he has leapfrogged a lot of other outfielders in that farm system, including Corey Ray, because of his tremendous season and being open to coaching, changing where he made contact with the ball, all those things, the storylines that were part of his year. So that kid had a great year. Josh Hader. I mean, if you want to criticize Josh Hader's performance last night, that's fine. But, you know, sometimes I think people forget you're talking about one of the, if not the best reliever in baseball. And maybe not best, but hardest to hit. There's nobody harder to hit than Josh Hader. There's not guys like him. So I don't necessarily, you know, it's fine to criticize the performance on that single night. But to go beyond that, I think, is a little bit much. And I think I'll say the same thing about Craig Counsell. That team was like the most 500 mediocre team for so much of the season, and they got hot at the right time. And, you know, I didn't have a manager of the year vote this year. If I did, boy, Craig Counsell would be pretty high on my ballot because that manager of the year vote is often like the manager of the most surprising team award. But in this case, his fingerprints were all over that 18-2 run where he was pushing buttons with the bullpen. And it wasn't just Josh Hader. It was getting Drew Pomerantz to pitch at the level he did. Getting contributions from Freddie Peralta, who had had such a sort of a poor season to that point. Ray Black actually pitched some good innings for them. He was able to, like, access these different guys and get performances out of them at times during that run that helped them get to that point and even play in that game in the first place. So, look, the beauty of baseball is second-guessing whether he should have kept Pomerantz in, whether they should have tried to squeeze another inning out of Brent Suter, even though he didn't look like he was great last night, another inning out of Brandon Woodruff. There's certainly things to think about that game. And I mean, that's why baseball is so much fun.
Uh-huh.
But to say, like, the manager is trash or the closer is trash, that's where I think it goes a little bit too far. You should be able to be disappointed about a season ending in absolutely crushing fashion, but not take it as far as some people seem to take it.
So, talking with Adam McAlvey, our Milwaukee Baseball Insider here on The Fan, he was in D.C. last night. He's in L.A. right now. Wish he was covering the Brewers to the NLDS. But, Adam, the only second guess that I could possibly have for Craig, and I agree with everything you just said, was in that moment, in that situation, and this would be the only thing that I'd wonder is, do you think he wishes he would have went out to try to calm the situation down before the Soto at-bat? Because when you're in that at-bat with Soto, I mean, that is mano a mano. That dude is one of the best young players in all of baseball. That battle, you're going to take that 10 times out of 10. In that exact moment, that's where I thought we could calm the game down at this exact moment, and then we're going to go attack the best young player that we're going to see.
Yeah, but I look, there was so much happening that I've seen commentary about this today, and I frankly I want to go like fire on my computer. I literally just dropped my bag in my room and watched that inning again, because didn't Chris Hook go out?
That's what I was trying to see, if he did go out earlier on, because then that wouldn't bring Council out, but could Grandal still have gone and made the visit?
Well, Grandal went out before Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
Hook came out that half inning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He could have. He could have, but I don't think Council could have. I'm about 80% sure of that. So, yeah, Grandal could have gone out. You know, the way Yaz thinks about you guys, this is a story. If he does come back, who knows? He loves that little kind of stuff. He would love this debate, because this is the kind of stuff he spends lots of time thinking about. So I would love to hear whether he did wishes he would have gone out. Maybe there was some thinking where he didn't want. He wanted Soto. He wanted all the noise. He wanted that. You know, you want that moment to be big for a 20-year-old hitter. You want him to feel his heart pounding in his chest. You don't want to slow that moment down for the hitter. So I don't know. That's just a total guess. But it's certainly the kind of thing Yasmani Grandal would think about, because that's the kind of cat and mouse that really gets him off about the game of baseball. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, the bottom line, and I thought Josh Hader said this very clearly about four or five different times, the bottom line of the whole thing is that he did a poor job. He couldn't locate. He couldn't throw his slider at all. His fastball was all over the place. There were very few sour grapes. I was surprised about the hit by pitch that looked like it hit the knob of the bat first. Yeah. I thought there was going to be all kinds of anger. That was my first question to Council, and I was frankly taken aback that there wasn't more frustration about that call. Hader took full responsibility that it wasn't Grisham, it wasn't any of the, it wasn't the broken bat, bad luck with Zimmerman. It was the fact that he was just spraying the ball all over the place, and he couldn't lock it in. And if you want to criticize Craig Council for not going out to get the guy, that's fine. But I think that a lot of managers in that situation, when you've got your guy on the mound, when you map this game out in your head and with your coaches, this is exactly what you wanted, a two-run lead with six out to go to a guy like Josh Hader. Mm-hmm. And to go out there and immediately make a move one or two or three batters into that and not give him the opportunity to find that little fix, that little thought that clicks it in, and all of a sudden he breezes through those final five outs and you're on to the National League Division Series. To take away that opportunity and go to Jordan Lyles in an unfamiliar spot, to go to, you know, a lesser reliever like Alex Claudio for Juan Soto, would be a tough move. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's a, you know, you couldn't have done it. This is a do or die game. You do, you know, things that are out of the ordinary. But I'm just, I don't know how many managers would have gone out there and made a move in that spot when you've got your guy, the guy you want in that moment. You've got him there, and it's just up to him to make it happen. And Josh Hader didn't make it happen.
Yeah, we're going to miss you because you've been amazing all season. But here's the thing. Now, I don't like the second guess. I live with it. I live with the fact Gary's son, Brock, was my best cornerback. And we played this team in Muskego. He was a seventh or eighth grader. And the guy caught a few balls. But I put Brock on him. And I said to myself, self, if he catches it on my best player, I can live with that. Yeah. What I couldn't live with, had you went out there and replaced him, put another guy out there, my best player sitting down, nah, I can't sleep. But my question is this. Could you have, who was on the bench, maybe you could have pinch hit for Arcia, because I think he popped it up.
You know what? Talk about wanting to go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guarantee you, all of you guys know more about what happened in the top of the ninth inning than I do.
Okay. You were getting rid of your rain gear, huh? You were getting ready to rock and roll.
Well, no. I mean, after that game turned, I've got my head down. I am trying to just capture what happened in that bottom of the eighth, because I've got to get, you know, we've got a game story in at last out, and then I've got to fight fans to get downstairs.
Right.
That top of the ninth inning, guys, was a blur. There was a hit in there, right?
Well,
a Lorenzo Cain one out base hit.
Caney hit.
Dude, guys, I'm serious. It is such a blur. That's all that happened so fast.
And I'm thinking at that point, I don't know who's on the bench and who's available.
Mm-hmm.
Arcia is up. And like I said, Cain is on. Maybe I would have put a better hitter in that spot. Against Arcia.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. You get maybe a lefty bat in there. There was another. I thought it was also a little strange. Ryan Braun was moving really poorly in that game, and there was an opportunity when you brought Pomerantz in to double switch and put the defense out there in left field with Gamel, they opted not to do that, and that led to a Drew Pomerantz at bat. And in a game like that where everything is so precious, I'm not certain that you want Drew Pomerantz taking an at bat.
Yep.
But they opted to keep their hitters in there, to keep their guys in there. So, the one-run game in a winner-take-all situation, this is, I'm sure after the seven previous wildcard games, there were conversations just like this about all the little things. I mean, think about that 2004 game with the Royals and the A's, where Moustakas and Kane come out on top in, 14 innings, go on to the World Series that year, a game that totally flipped on its head on Stephen Vogt and Drew Pomerantz and the A's. That is why these games are so intense to watch, and how if you're involved in them as a player or a coach or a manager, they are, they make you queasy, because things turn on, one knob of the bat, one broken bat hit, one closer who doesn't have it on that one day after being, a strikeout machine for much of the season, and then one rookie spinning a hit that takes a funky hop and gets past your rookie outfielder, and there's the game.
What kind of pitch is that he's throwing that's 83 miles an hour that just falls? Man, that thing is nasty. What is that, a slider or a curve or what is that? Yeah, Josh Hader was.
That's that slider.
Yeah, that slider, but he really wasn't able to locate it at all yet.
Yeah, he got to build on that for next year. That's a nasty pitch after throwing it in 99 and 98. So that's some positive.
That's going to be the key. That's going to be the key for Hader, because he went through those home run struggles in the middle of the season, and he worked really hard. And, we all talked on this air here about, does he need to throw more sliders? Well, he threw more sliders, and he really got it going, starting with that game in Washington. Really, that crazy 14-inning game in Washington, D.C., over the weekend in August, and he lost the lead. It was an ugly game, but he locked it in and struck out three guys in a row, and it was kind of down the stretch. He was a weapon again for the Brewers. It's tough, because you think about, they've got some losses now. I mean, here we go, off-season time, and Grandal, great year. He's going to get MVP votes.
Do we have an option on him or no?
No, free agent, straight one
straight
year deal.
Free agent.
Moustakas, free agent. Pomerantz. Drew Pomerantz is going to get paid by somebody. He's kind of revitalized his career a little bit. Jordan Lyles revitalized his career a little bit. He's going to get paid. So Those are, you know, Gio Gonzalez in terms of the culture of that Brewers team, and that he was a part of 18-2 to get to a postseason.
Big time he was.
So they've got some changes coming, and I think we're going to be talking a lot over the winter and a lot going into next year about
in Stearns we trust
in those young pitchers
and
guys who didn't get it done this year. How much do you count on them next year? That's going to be one of the big storylines.
And it becomes the season of extensions, hopefully, as Craig Counsell comes into the last year of his deal as well with the guys that you just named off, Adam. A lot of post-mortem still to come. We'll break down all of that, but appreciate you joining us here today.
Adam.
And I'm still stunned. I still thought Juan Soto was going to be out by Josh Hader there in the eighth, so go enjoy L.A. as much as you can.
Yeah, well, step one is going to be to find a coffee shop.
And, straight
and then
black.
Step two is going to be to, I think I'm on the Dodgers, who I haven't seen for quite some time. So I'm going to go look up who's on the Dodgers besides Cody Bellinger and
there you go.
Have an idea.
There you go, buddy.
Adam, take it easy, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, bye, guys. Thanks for the chats. All. I know we're not going away, but I appreciated it all year. It was fun. I love you guys. And
well, we love you too, my brother.
Love you too, man. Thank you.
Thanks
appreciate
for coming on, Adam.
Appreciate everything you do. That's Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, as he has done all year long. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.